Hello everybody, this is Osho Radio. You can listen to a 1 hour program with music from the world of Osho and a discourse by Osho. 1 hour just for you to relax and enjoy. The discourse today is from the series Philosophia Perennis, Volume 2, Number 6. Osho is talking at length about vegetarianism, a subject he is not often talking about the way he is doing in this discourse. He takes the verses of Pythagoras, a Greek philosopher and mystic who also spent some time in India, and shows us how this beautiful man left us some precious gifts. In fact, he was the first man in the West who talked about vegetarianism, reincarnation, and the importance of breaking the wheel of life. As always, the discourse has many, many different layers of understanding and brings us back to this moment.
Om Purnamada Purnamida Purnat Purnam Udachate Purnasya Purnam Adaya Purnameva Vashishyate.
Pythagoras, for the first time, introduced vegetarianism into the West. The idea of vegetarianism is of immense value. It is based on great reverence for life. The modern mind can understand it far more better. Now we know that all forms of life are interrelated, interdependent. Man is not an island. Man exists in an infinite web of millions of forms of life and existence. We exist in a chain. We are not separate. And to destroy other animals is not only ugly, unaesthetic, inhuman, it is also unscientific. We are destroying our own foundation. Life exists as one organic unity. Man can exist only as part of this orchestra. Just think of man without birds and without animals and without fish. That life will be very, very boring. It will lose all complexity, variety, richness, color. The forest will be utterly empty. The cuckoo will not call, and the birds will not fly, and the water will look very sad without the fish. Life in its infinite forms exists as one organic unity. We are part of it. The parts should feel reverence for the whole. That is the idea of vegetarianism. It simply means don't destroy life. It simply means life is God. Avoid destroying it. Otherwise you will be destroying the very ecology. And it has something very scientific behind it. It was not an accident that all the religions that were born in India are basically vegetarian. And all the religions that were born outside India are non-vegetarian. But the highest peaks of religious consciousness were known in India and nowhere else. Vegetarianism functions as a purification. When you eat animals, you are more under the law of necessity. You are heavy. You gravitate more towards the earth. When you are a vegetarian, you are light. And you are more under the law of grace, under the law of power. And you start gravitating towards the sky. Your food is not just food. It is you. What you eat, you become. If you eat something which is based basically on murder, on violence, you cannot rise above the law of necessity. You will remain more or less an animal. The human is born when you start moving above the animals. When you start doing something to you which no animal can do. Vegetarianism is a conscious effort, deliberate effort, to get out of the heaviness that keeps you tethered to the earth so that you can fly, so that the flight from the alone to the alone can become possible. The lighter the food, the deeper goes the meditation. Grasser the food, and meditation becomes more and more difficult. I am not saying that meditation is impossible for a non-vegetarian. It is not impossible, but it is unnecessarily difficult. It is like a man who is going to climb the mountain, and he goes on carrying many rocks. It is possible that even when you are carrying rocks, you may reach to the mountain peak, but it is unnecessary trouble. You could have thrown those rocks. You could have unburdened yourself, and the climb would have been more easier, far more pleasant. The intelligent person will not carry rocks when he is going to the mountain, will not carry anything unnecessary. And the higher he will move, the more and more lighter he will become. Even if he is carrying something, he will drop. When Edmund Hillary and Tenzing reached for the first time on Everest, they had to drop everything on the way. Because the higher they moved, the more it was difficult to carry anything. Even very essential things were dropped. Just to carry yourself is more than enough. Vegetarianism is of immense help. It changes your chemistry. When you eat and live on animals, the first thing, whenever an animal is killed, the animal is angry, afraid, naturally. When you kill an animal, just think of yourself being killed. What will be the state of your consciousness? What will be your psychology? All kinds of poisons will be released in your body. Because when you are angry, a certain kind of poison is released into your blood. When you are afraid again, a certain other kind of poison is released into your blood. And when you are being killed, that is the utmost in fear, anger. All the glands in your body release all their poison. And man goes on living on that poisoned meat. If it keeps you angry, violent, aggressive, it is not strange. It is natural. Whenever you live on killing, you don't have any respect for life. You are inimical to life. And the person who is inimical to life cannot move into prayer, because prayer means reverence for life. And one who is inimical to God's creatures cannot be very friendly towards God either. It is impossible. All the creatures belong to God. God lives in them. God breathes in them. They are His manifestation, just as you are. They are brothers and sisters. When you see an animal, and if the idea of brotherhood does not arise in you, you don't know what prayer is. You will never know what prayer is. And the very idea that just for food, just for taste, you can destroy life is so ugly. It is impossible to believe that man goes on doing it. Pythagoras was the first to introduce vegetarianism in the West. It is a profound depth that man should learn how to live in friendship with nature, in friendship with creatures. That becomes the foundation. And only on that foundation you can base your prayer, your meditativeness. You can watch it in yourself. When you eat meat, meditation will be found more and more difficult. Buddha was born in a non-vegetarian family. He was a Kshatriya, belonged to the warrior race. But the experience of meditation slowly transformed him into a vegetarian. It was his inner understanding. Whenever he will eat meat, meditation was more difficult. Whenever he will avoid meat, meditation was easier. It was just a simple observation. It is an unavoidable fact that if you want to meditate, if you want to become thoughtless, if you want to become light, so light that the earth cannot pull you downwards, so light that you start levitating, so light that the sky becomes available to you, then one has to move from non-vegetarian conditionings to the freedom of vegetarianism. Vegetarianism has nothing to do with religion. It is something basically scientific. It has nothing to do with morality, but it has much to do with aesthetics. It is unbelievable that a man of sensitivity, awareness, understanding, love can eat meat. And if he can eat meat, then something is missing. He is still somewhere unconscious of what he is doing, unconscious of the implications of his acts. The problem that has arisen today, that we have destroyed nature, would never had arisen. If Pythagoras has become the foundation for the Western consciousness, there would not have been these great world wars. He would have changed the whole course of history. But people are blind. People are deaf. They can't hear a thing. They can't understand a thing. And they are not ready to change their habits. People live in their habits. Mechanically they live. And he had brought a message of becoming aware. Great meditative energy would have been released in the West. It would have been become impossible to produce Adolf Hitlers and Mussolinis and Stalins. It would have been a totally different world. But still the same old habit persists. We cannot change human consciousness unless we start from changing human body. When you eat meat, you are absorbing the animal in you. And the animal has to be transcended. Avoid. If you really want to go higher and higher, if you really want to go to the sunlit peaks of your consciousness, if you really want to know God, then you will have to change in every possible way. You will have to look all around your life. You will have to observe each small habit in detail. Because sometimes a very small thing can change your whole life. Sometimes it may be a very simple thing, and it can change your life so totally that it looks almost unbelievable. Try vegetarianism and you will be surprised. Meditation becomes far more easier. Love becomes more subtle, loses its grossness, becomes more sensitive, less sensuous, becomes more prayerful and less sexual. And your body also starts taking a different vibe. You become more graceful, softer, more feminine, less aggressive, more receptive. Vegetarianism is an alchemical change in you. It creates the space in which the baser metal can be transformed into gold. The second thing that Pythagoras also introduced in the Western consciousness was the idea of reincarnation. That too is somehow related with vegetarianism. You will be surprised again that all the vegetarian religions believe in reincarnation. And all the non-vegetarian religions believe only in one life. This can't be just a coincidence. In India, Brahminism, Jainism, Buddhism are the three great religions. They differ in every possible way. Their ideologies are so different that you cannot find more different ideologies anywhere. Hindus believe in God. They believe in soul. Jainas don't believe in God. A tremendously fundamental thing. A religion without God. Buddhists don't believe even in the soul. No God, no soul. You cannot imagine a religion without God and without a soul. Such are their differences, but about one thing they all are agreed, and that one thing is the idea of reincarnation, rebirth. Even Buddha agrees to it, who does not believe in a soul. It looks very absurd how there can be rebirth if there is no soul. He does not believe in a soul, but he believes in a continuum. He says, just as you lit a candle in the evening, and in the morning, when you are blowing it off, can you say it is the same flame that you had started in the evening? It is not the same, and yet somehow it is connected. The flame has been changing the whole night. The flame was disappearing the whole night. It was disappearing into smoke, and new flame was being replaced each moment. In fact, the movement was so quick, that's why you couldn't see the gaps. There has been a continuum, a constant change, but very quick and fast. One flame being replaced by another the whole night. So when in the morning you are putting the candle off, it is not the same flame that you had started, although it looks almost the same. The first flame and the last are connected. They are part of one chain, one process. But you cannot say that there has been one flame, one soul. That is Buddhist idea of reincarnation. The continuity continues, but individuals disappear. There is no individual soul. But still Buddha believed in reincarnation. Jainas believe in reincarnation. Brahmins believe in reincarnation. But Jews, Christians and Mohammedans don't believe. Those are the three great religions which were born outside India. How it happened that all three Indian religions stumbled upon the fact of reincarnation, although they are not agreeing in any other matters? Why they agree about one thing? They could not disagree. From where this experience came to them? And you will be surprised. The answer is vegetarianism. When a person is utterly vegetarian, he can easily remember his past lives. His clarity is such, he can look into his past lives. He is not grass. His energy is not blocked. His energy easily moves. His river of consciousness can penetrate to the very ancient most times. He can go backwards as much as he wants. The consciousness of a non-vegetarian is blocked in many ways. He has been accumulating grass matter in himself. That grass matter functions as a barrier. That's why all the three religions that were born outside India and have remained non-vegetarian could not come to the idea of reincarnation. They could not experience it. Pythagoras lived in India, lived the life of a vegetarian, meditated deeply, became aware of the past lives, could see himself moving backwards. He could understand what Buddha means when he says that once I was an elephant, once I was a fish, once I was a tree. The idea of evolution has been here in the East forever, and in a far more subtle way than it has been given to the Western science by Darwin. Darwin's idea is very raw. He says, monkeys have become man. Although yet Darwinians had not been able to prove it. Because they are searching still for the link between the monkey and the man. And the problem arises, why only few monkeys became man? What happened to other monkeys? And monkeys basically are imitators. If few monkeys had become man, then all monkeys would have imitated. What happened to the other monkeys? Great imitators they are. Why only few men? And the monkeys are still there. Thousands and thousands of years have passed and monkeys are still monkeys. And you don't come across a monkey suddenly becoming a man. That one fine morning he wakes up and he is a man. Nobody has ever watched this miracle happen. The question is, where are the links between monkey and man? And the difference is great. The Western concept of evolution, the Darwinian concept of evolution, is very grass. The Eastern idea of evolution is very subtle. It is not the question that the body of a monkey becomes the body of man. It has never happened. The growth, the evolution has not happened from body to body. The growth has been happening in consciousness. When a monkey attains to a certain consciousness, the next birth will be that of man, not of a monkey. He will die as a monkey and will be born as a man. The evolution is not going to happen in the body of the monkey itself. That body has been used by the soul, or whatever you call it, continuum. The body of the monkey has been used. Now the soul is ready to take a better body, a body where more possibilities of growth will become available. The soul moves from one animal to another animal. The bodies are not evolving, but souls are evolving. The candles are not evolving, but the flames go on jumping from one candle to another. The flame goes on rising higher and higher. The evolution is of consciousness, not of material physiological body. That is where Darwin missed the whole point. But in the East, for at least 10,000 years, we have been aware. The awareness came through meditation. And the awareness was based in vegetarianism. Because people started remembering their past lives. And once you start moving into past lives, this life will be utterly transformed. Why? Because once you see that all stupid things that you are doing now, are wanting to do, you have been doing for many, many lives. You have done those same things many times. And each time, nothing was attained. For example, if you are mad after money, and then you remember that in the past life also you were mad after money, and you had succeeded, and you have become a rich man, very rich man, and then you died, and all that richness and all that wealth was of no use. It was taken away by death, and you died as empty as ever, as poor as ever. And you remember, even before that, you were a king, and you had a great kingdom. And still you were frustrated. And still you lived in misery. And you died in misery. And again you are doing the same and hankering for more money. It will become impossible. The longing will simply fall flat on the ground. How can you go on repeating the same stupid thing again and again if you can remember? You can go on repeating the same stupidity again and again if you cannot remember. The idea of reincarnation is not a philosophical idea. It is an experience. It is utterly scientific. People have remembered their lives. And the third thing, he was again the first to introduce the concept that life is a wheel. Wheel of birth and death. And the wheel goes on moving. And we go on clinging to the wheel. And the wheel is repetitive. Again and again. It will move on the same track. Nothing new will ever happen. Birth will come, you will become young, you will be full of sex and great desires, and then you will be spent and you will be old, deceased, ill, sick, frustrated, tired, and then death, and again birth, and so on and so forth. Each birth brings a death. Each death brings a birth. It is a vicious circle. And the wheel goes on moving. In India, the name for the world is samsara. Samsara means the wheel. Youth, our childhood, our old age are just spokes of the wheel. And we go on clinging to the wheel. And the wheel goes on moving. As everything else moves in the world, the earth moves around the sun. And the sun also moves around some unknown sun. And the moon moves around the earth. And earth and moon both move around the sun. And the sun around some other sun. And so on and so forth. And all the stars are moving. And everything is moving in a circle. Seasons move in a circle. Life is a wheel. And the wheel is repetitive. You will never reach anywhere if you go on clinging to the wheel. In the East, it has been a known fact that we have to jump out of the wheel, only then we are free. To be free from this wheel of birth and death is to have freedom. Then you simply are. Then you are not moving. Then there is no past and no future, but only the present. Then now is the only time, and here the only space. All change is if you are clinging to the wheel. If you drop out the wheel, all change disappears. Then you are here and always here. That state is the real search of all true seekers. How to get out of this wheel of birth and death? How to enter into life eternal, where no birth ever happens and no death either? where nothing begins and nothing ends, where all simply is.
I go to the feet
This was Osho Radio for today. We started the program with music from the world of Osho from the CD Five Fingers, a composition called Empty Boat. Then there was Miten, together with Ravi, playing the song Carry Me Away. Just before the discourse, you heard Deva Premal with Om Purnam from her CD Dakshina. After the discourse, the Atmospheres played a song called Gachamis, and we finish with an instrumental piece by Bindu called Timeless Light. Goodbye, everybody. We hope you liked the program today. Tell your friends about the music we play and the discourses by Osho. Until the next time, namaste. Thank you.